This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Are you mad?
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday podcast
from Joy 94.9.
We were talking about the Safe Schools program. If anyone's been looking at the news, you'll notice a lot of us woke up on Easter Sunday to the news that the Safe Schools program had been scrapped in New South Wales, and it's also been reported that it's been scrapped in Tasmania. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, it put a downer on my whole weekend. I find after last year with us having to fight so much for just basic equality and respect, and this is such an important program that I never had when I was a kid. It just really, really upset me, because I can't believe we're still in a time where we're talking about, you know, just basic acceptance and communication about these kind of things within schools like it's a problem.
It is a shame. And I mean, I was also one, I was bullied for being a lesbian since I was 9 years old, before even... How did you know what a lesbian is?
Yeah.
I know what one is. and, you know, what I learnt from it is I learnt how to be really tough and stand on my own two feet. And why I think that fighting these battles hasn't changed anything is because when you put attention into something that's not working, you're putting attention into something that's not working.
Yeah.
So you've got to stand on your own two feet and go, what can I do to change my world? And sometimes it is meaning standing on your own two feet and making changes, because we can't change the old. Those people that think that way are never going to change. So we want to push them to the side and go, right, you can have your hideous world.
You think with your view, yeah.
Let's look at how can we look at empowering ourselves. And it's those young kids who are going to need people that they can speak to and look up to and get information from, because, you know, being a kid is tough. And because we're emotionally immature, we don't understand and we don't have that confidence. So it's like, where can we put into positions people that they can address, places that they can go to, that they can get this support? Because we're not going to get it from those means anymore. We've got to create our own way.
You know, one of the things that I really love is I'm constantly inspired and impressed by the LGBTQ youth that are coming year after year. Like, when I was young, I knew that Switchboard was there. I knew that there was minus 18, but I didn't reach out for any of these things. I was very aware of at a very young age of my sexuality. I was very aware about what was going on within me and what my feelings were. And I was okay with it. But I was also one of those kids that went, I'll just wait till the end of VC to make it public, because... Yeah. I don't want to just have to deal with all these extra things. And you shouldn't have to go through that, because growing up is hard enough. You should have to feel like you can talk about these things and talk about what you're going through, and it's okay, because it is. And especially within a school environment, it's really important. So it just gets my goat.
And a program like that would have helped you, Dean, in high school.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a program would help anyone and everyone. One of the good things about, I mean, it's pages and pages of reading, which you can see online, but one of the things I really loved about the Safe Schools program was the fact that it wasn't just about one kid. It was about all the kids. It was about how they'd come in to help create a structure of support and foundation across the board for how you can help with what's going on within that student. It wasn't about labelling. It wasn't about pointing one particular thing out. It was about providing a structure and support and a foundation for someone to be able to express and understand who they are.
And the kid that calls, you know, someone a lesbian or someone gay in high school needs a program just as much.
Exactly. I mean, primary school, high school experience was exactly the same. You know, it was always called that, and kids don't understand what that is. And where I was concerned, they just happened to be right.
Yeah, you know? I was so upset. A bully called me gay, and I'm like, oh, how did he know? He knew before me. That's
and
not
I just
fair.
Called him Jeffrey. Like, you know, it's one of those things. It's just getting kids and everyone to understand, and it's.
But also, I think, you know, there's this whole thing about bullies, that bullies are doing all this bad stuff. But, I mean, I remember times when I was in school where I bullied. And it was because I was a very, very young, angry woman who that's all I knew how to let it out, because that's what was happening to me. So, you know, you're looking at kids who might not be getting love at home, who are dealing with any sort of abuse, alcohol, you know. And so these bullies are actually, it's a cry for help. So... We're looking at the situation as victims, where we need to turn it around and go, we are all trying to deal with issues in our lives, how can we come together and learn from what our experiences are creating for ourselves and other people, and empower ourselves instead of pointing the fingers and going, what can we do?
Do you know what? Well, one of the things that I think is really important, like we're doing right now, is actually talking about it, about our own experiences. Mm. I mean, I guess a young person said it to the other day. They were like, you're an elder. And I'm like, oh, I'm old already. I'm like, I'm already in that category. I've just got to accept
10 years in the gay scene, you're a nana apparently, isn't it?
Exactly. Long gone. And, but it's really important to never stop sharing our stories, because some people say everything changes every 7 years, but within our queer world, I think it's more like 2.5 to 3.
Hmm.
You know, the goalposts change, and what my life was like is very different to someone who's come out, you know, from 3 years ago, or has come out 9 years ago. Mm. And everyone has these different goalposts that they work within.
And I think it's really exciting to think about the people that come out in 3 years or 6 years. It's going to be so much more exciting for them.
Completely.
And things are improving, and there's a lot of positives. And Sunday was a bit of a bad day, but it's still...
But this is why I think it's important. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I love Joy.
Hmm.
You know, dialogue is everything. Joy provides that space for everyone here, not just great music, which I've been loving all day, but also these kind of conversations, which I think make all the difference. So you should go out there and you should share your stories, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with your family. One of the things that made me happy is two of my friends, their kids came back from their first week at school,
hmm.
and were talking about how one of the girls has two mummies.
Hmm.
And they were comfortable to be able to talk about that because I'm Uncle Dean and they know that Uncle Dean likes boys.
Mm.
And it's the simplest of simple conversations that we have within our lives changes the structure of everything. And we can't, there are certain things that we can't control. And yes, there are certain things prejudices we still need to stand up and fight against, but we can do it with love instead of hate.
Mm.
And I think that's the most important exactly. message we can take with it.
Gorgeous.
It's Mad Wednesday with Sexy and Dean.
Hello.
And we're not alone, are we, Sexy?
We're not alone. We're with two fabulous people.
We really, really are. We're with the lovely Karen from Parents of Gender Diverse Children. And I'm totally reading from the piece of paper. And we're with Nevo, who's a Jewish queer non-binary writer, activist, and public speaker. That's it does say writer. Author as well, you know. I guess that's writing.
Yeah,
I'll do. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very good. We're very glad to get you onto the show.
Thank you.
Karen, Parents of Gender Diverse Children, did you start that or are a part of it? Or
I'm a part of it. I'm a co-founder.
So how did it come about that you wanted to create this space?
A group of mums got together. It was actually last year when the first round of anti-safe schools stuff
there
happened.
Were a lot of rounds last year, weren't there?
There was. And so we all got together and thought, you know, we need a voice and we need to be able to come out and say something because, you know, this is our kids.
Yeah.
And so we all joined together and we made like a little organisation. And so then we got a business card. And so then we could give our business card to people and say, hey, we're somebody, listen to us. And it worked. And it's just gone from there.
Oh, and that's brilliant. I mean, it's one of the, we were talking about safe schools before, all of the things that have happened in the past few days and just how upsetting it was. Because, I mean, we never had anything like that when we were kids. And I can only look at my own experience and my own childhood, but it's a completely different one for you being a parent.
Mm.
You know, it's a completely different landscape to kind of look at.
It's hard. I was saying to Neville before, you know, we're not on the on the rainbow. So, you know, we're kind of outsiders looking in. But because we have young children, you know, we have to make so many decisions and we have to make all the choices. And this is also the community and the, you know, the tribe that our kids are going to grow into.
Yeah.
So we've had to sort of go, you know, well, we have to try and make this okay for you. And then we heard that they were going to, like, you know, all sorts of stuff was going to happen to safe schools. And we got really scared and really worried for our kids.
I mean, it's interesting you say that because I always feel like allies do have a special place within the rainbow, especially after the past year.
Mm.
It's probably not as prominent as the other ones that get attention. But there's plenty that still fit under the category in the world.
I like to think we're honorary members.
Definitely. So when you created the group, what sort of things did you start doing from that point?
One of the very first things we did was go to Canberra because it was a little bit outside of what we sort of see ourselves doing, but it's really, really relevant to our kids, is that when they're 16, if they choose to get hormone therapy, they have to approach the family court.
Yeah.
So they get dragged through a court case to get treatment that they need, but they have to ask permission from a court. And we felt really strongly about that. And just around the time that we sort of set up, there was a group of people going to Canberra to lobby at a federal level, because the family court is a federal jurisdiction. They were lobbying at that level to try and have the law changed by politicians.
Yeah.
It's not going to go anywhere, but you know what? It's worth doing. It was worth doing it. We met a lot of people.
It's all about intent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we went, we put ourselves out there, we met heaps of people, we made lots of contacts, and we came back armed with a lot of information. And we learnt a lot just by going. And it's really all just kind of snowballed from there.
Well, that's great. I mean, so we've gotten you on specifically to talking about an event that you guys are doing next week. It's called Getting There, Living Proudly as Your Authentic Self. I mean, that, and you've got, there's four speakers.
Yes.
We've got Jacob Thomas, Danny Weber, Nevo as well. You're going to be speaking. Oh my God, the writing's really.
Athrael.
Oh, thank you. I printed it out. It's very small.
Athrael Henshaw.
I think one of the things I loved when I saw this pop up in my feed is because it's that funny conversation that doesn't really happen, which is living as your authentic self. And for me, I've always identified as male. I've always identified as gay. So I think I've been able to sit within certain boxes, which have made it easier for me. But it's also great that we live in this world now where that dialogue is completely different. And especially for a lot of younger people, their expression of what that is something completely different as well. And I mean, I love that this event is happening. Neville, what's been your experience? Because you did have in your description, where is it? Here it is. You did have in your description that you're queer and non-binary. Do you think people often go, what does that mean to you all the time? Or do they understand it? Or
yeah, I'm a walking search engine. and it pays very, it's not a good wage at all. And it's a lot of labor. so yeah, people ask me all the time, and that's why I'm actually really excited at this point to have a book that I can actually just say, you can just go and buy it. Maybe I don't have to repeat these things all the time.
You've got a book coming up with all this, haven't you?
Yeah. So my book is a memoir. So it's basically just, I guess, a combination of all of the answers to all of the questions, I guess, that I get asked all the time.
And but you direct them to that.
Yeah, which is nice. But yeah, I do get those questions all the time. And in particular with the whole safe school situation, I mean, I was part of the program that became such a situation. And so that was really...
Well, you even, I mean, attack's not the word, but some... you kind of
the Australian got in Christian the firing lobby, line. They wrote about me specifically and by name. So that was lovely, especially because at that time I was so nice. I was so nice. Like, I watched that video of myself.
I've seen the video.
I was so nice. I don't think I've ever been that nice in my life. Like, I was just like, if you don't understand, maybe you should just ask. And just if you stuff up, just apologize. If they thought I was violent and aggressive there, gosh, they should see me now. Like, wow. Now, like, 4 years later, I'm not that nice anymore.
Well, it's interesting how some people perceive honesty and truth as aggressive.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to hear it, so that's the only backup they can sort of come at, isn't it?
But also it's like, why do we have to be really lovely just to get the rights that everyone else has? Yeah. Like, shouldn't you want to afford that to us because you're also human and you understand the human struggle, not because we begged you and were really lovely about it? And that's the problem that I have with politics of oppression and privilege, is that it's like the oppressed minority is always expected to beg the holders of power in such a lovely way to get something that they should have just been born with.
Which we should change, because the majority is the oppressed, you know?
Well, exactly.
When are we going to start ignoring them, you know?
Oh, look, I'm happy to start right now.
I'm in it.
Because, I mean, I have, being born in the 70s, I mean, I grew up as a female thinking that I was a lesbian, then thinking that I didn't like butch women, so maybe I was supposed to be a boy. And I went through all those confusions, and because I liked hanging out with boys, doing boys things. So I had this whole dialogue, and growing up I had no idea where I fit into anything. But I just realised that I just have to be me and stuff anybody else.
I mean, I think that's a realization that a lot of us come to, but it's so frustrating that this is what we have to go through within our lives to get to that point. I mean, I think it's still something that my parents, they understand as much as they can, but don't understand because they weren't going through it with me or anything like that at the time. Like when I told them about who I was 18 years old. So I had done all of my development in regards to that and figured it out myself and then put it forward to them. But for that, them, it's a whole different landscape. But what I love is for you guys as parents, getting involved, getting that help and giving the support from a community point of view, we love that. You know, of so much time feeling like we're fighting for things ourselves, we're doing this alone. Like, and what I think what I really love, and especially, you know, not just with the safe schools and with the videos and things that have been coming out, is the very smart dialogue that young people have in relation to it. I certainly, there's no way I could have articulated myself that well when I was young.
Well, the reason that we're here is because of the elders of the LGBTIQA community who have been fighting in the trenches their whole lives for us to get here. And, you know, this language has been developed. Like, we didn't just get to this point in the world in 2017 that's really progressive because people decided to change. We got here because there are soldiers in the trenches who have been fighting their entire lives. So as young queer people, we owe it to LGBTIQA elders to honour them and understand that it's actually because of you, and we wouldn't be here otherwise. And thank goodness we have the language we do now, because we need it.
And I personally am doing this so that when my child is 21, I can say, you have to be grateful to your mummy for everything she did. Because I don't feel most of the time I've got anything to hold over my child.
Well, then this is a very good way to go. So next, it's happening next Wednesday. It's Getting There Living Proudly as Your Authentic Self. And it's an open evening where you guys have a panel where you're one of the speakers, and a panel that brings together an inspirational group of people that share their stories. So, I mean, this is something anyone can attend to. Anyone can come.
Yes.
And can actually learn about something more. And it's like what we were talking about earlier on the show. The most important way in which we can do that is through conversation.
Yes.
It's through hearing other people's stories, and it's through sharing that wealth of information. And you've also got a reading of The Gender Fairy.
You do.
By the lovely Jo.
Yes, the lovely Jo will be reading The Gender Fairy, and she will be starting us off in the evening.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's a lovely way to go. Yes.
So how can people find out more about this?
If you look up Parents of Gender Diverse Children Facebook page, we have a link there, and there is an Eventbrite registration system that you can get your tickets through there.
Well, lovely. That's fantastic. I'm going to make sure that all that information's up on the Mad Wednesday page tonight. And what about your book? When is that?
It's coming out Monday week, would you believe? I can't. So Monday the 1st of May, that's it. It's called Finding Nevo, so kind of like Finding Nemo.
That's why I'm international.
Yeah, I know.
I know the minute I was
I did shoot myself in the foot with that one, but I figured it was worth it. It was the title that I wanted my whole life.
It's a good one. It's a very good one.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, so yeah, that'll be available from then on. And I've got a few launches and a few speaking things coming up. And yeah, it's an exciting and terrifying time.
But how wonderful that you can educate, enlighten, just by talking about yourself.
And it's a gift to be able to express my story through my own voice, because I have been interviewed so many times in which that voice has been manipulated and language has been used that I don't relate to, like born in the wrong body and born a girl and, you know, losing a daughter, like these kind of things. And it's just, that's not how I speak about myself.
Isn't it funny how so many, in trying to communicate it to mainstream media or to other people, how so much misinformation happens and misconstruing of that occurs.
And it gets sensationalized so that it becomes clickbait for people to look
exclamation
at.
Exclamation marks at the end of every sentence.
Well, exactly. They speak in negative language, you know. Instead of speaking in a positive language, this is who I am, this is what I love to be, you know, which is the important.
Well, it has to be othering. It's like, you know, this is a trans freak, like you'll never be like that, that'll never be your kids, you know. And it's like, actually, maybe we're all a little bit trans
we're
and a little bit gay.
We're all trans.
I was about to say we're all freaks. Like,
yeah, we are.
Freaks,
we
and that's
are
wonderful and joyous. And
the most freaky people are the ones who actually admit that they're freaks, and the ones who don't, they're the ones I'm more concerned about. I'm worried about.
They're hiding some dark secrets.
Exactly.
Well, we want to thank you guys for coming and joining us today. We're certainly going to put up all that information, both about your book, Finding Never, and about the event. getting there, living proudly as your authentic self, which is happening next Wednesday. So you'll find all the information on our Mad Wednesday Facebook page. I want to thank you guys so much for coming in and chatting with us.
Thanks for having
it's
us.
It's so nice to have these kind of conversations.
That's beautiful.
And we love it.
You've been listening to another Mad Wednesday podcast, driving you home every Wednesday afternoon from 4.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.